Welcome to the NCCF Teaching Podcast. We trust you'll find this encouraging. For more information about New Covenant Christian Fellowship in Woodland Park, Colorado, log on to nccfcolorado.com. Thank you and God bless. I wanted to relay a dream that I had this week. And I just wanted to start our time with this. It's been a thing where we've come to appreciate the language of dreams. And it's not like every dream is from God. Sometimes our souls are really processing things. Sometimes our dreams are influenced by harassment, you know, and it's not always a God thing. But I do know this, that God can use every dream that we have and speak to us about something. This one felt like it had some life in it. It had some weight to it. It had a vibrancy to it that I wanted to pass along to you. It was kind of a funny dream at first because I was entering into this. I knew that it was a church. I knew that it was a church gathering, but it was a big stadium. It was opulent. And I was invited to lead worship at this gathering. And so there were people coming in, and they were all looking really good. But they weren't like posers. They were just looking good. They were happy to be there. They were up. Their faces were bright. They were smiling. They were coming in. And I'm in my cutoff shorts and my t-shirt. And, you know, like, I'm just getting ready to do worship. Like, I'm getting my gear together, and all of a sudden I realize, oh my goodness, it's like almost time to start, you know? And someone actually said in the dream, you got like 3 minutes, Chris. And I realized, man, I don't even have time to change, you know? Like, all these people are looking really good. And my equipment's kind of messing up here. I can't even like figure out how to hook up my guitar and stuff. And I go to the sound booth, and there's no sound tech there, and there's like a cloth that's draped over the sound booth, and it's covered in dust, and I dust it, and I pick it up, and I'm like, well, I don't know if there's even a sound guy here today. The stage is filling up with other musicians. A whole choir kind of loads up there. And so I'm just like, all right, well, here we go. And what I realized is, as I was walking from the back where the sound booth was, that people realized that it was time to start. And at first you could see kind of like the look on their face, like, who's going to lead worship? But then what started to happen was, like, someone in the crowd began to sing a song, and then the entire stadium, which was full now, picked that song up and began to sing it. And really rich harmonies were flowing out of that. It was beautiful. And that would subside. And then someone over here would pick up a song. And they might sing the first verse. And then someone over here would sing the second verse and the third verse. Super rich harmonies. And then I got up to the stage, and the guy's like, all right, you're in this closet here. I need you to put your, so I tried to get in this closet. I can't even fit me and my guitar in here. And I was like, dude, it's not going to work. I can't get in this closet and lead worship. He's like, well, just go on up there then. So I go up there, and my cord is too short, and so I'm behind the choir, and I asked the choir, I was like, hey, can you guys like move so I can see just a little bit? And they did. They moved over a little bit. And then everybody like got really quiet and just was focused. And I just took a deep breath, and I was like, Jesus, it really is just all about you. And we want to worship you. And so I strummed like one chord. And when that happened in my dream, the manifest presence of God, his spirit, moved through the entire place. And people, you could just tell that people were having deep encounters with God. They were having visionary experiences. They were hearing from God. They were pouring their hearts out in authenticity. And I just got to relish that. And that was the dream. And it doesn't take a whole lot of interpretation. I do know that every time God has spoken to me in dreams, he's been very, very encouraging. So he wasn't like diminishing anything. at all. He was just saying, you know, just in the authenticity of who you are, you know, when you're not all, you know, with your elaborate fig leaf and, you know, you're posing and all that kind of stuff, but you just come to me. First of all, my people are beautiful. They're rich. You know, just in that sense of their identity as sons and daughters. And they come with expectant hearts to meet with me. And my spirit encounters them in that place. And so it's in that spirit that we come this morning. We've been learning some things over the last few weeks, reminded of some things that are very important to us about worship. That it's not a show. We don't have to have the elaborate set. We don't have to have, you know, all the bells and whistles in order for it to be genuine and meaningful and in order for it to bless God. And so we've pared it down over the last few weeks. If you've been coming, you recognize that we haven't been doing as many songs. Sometimes we're just doing parts of songs that kind of are springboards into interactions that we have. Because this is what the Lord showed me. And he showed it to me in Scripture. It's in Peter. He says, we are being built together as living stones, a dwelling place of God by his Holy Spirit. We are the house of prayer. We are the house of worship. And so our hearts offered to God, that's really what it's about. And so I just offer that just as a way to introduce us into this time and this space. So won't you stand with me? God, I just, I'm just like really sensing your presence here, like in the place of my emotions, and it's just really interesting. I really appreciate this. And I just want to offer this in the way of a confession and in the way of a repentance. Just before you and before my friends here, that, you know, there's often this gravitational pull and this temptation to make church and make gatherings and make our life together in fellowship more than it needs to be. And we allow just the influence of culture and our preferences to interfere with what's most important in this love relationship. That you have with us. And that we have with you. And so we invite you, Spirit, to move now in this place between us and encounter, let us encounter that love. We just offer ourselves to you now as living sacrifices. We offer our lives to you, and we thank you for this time this morning. Amen. Worship has been coming to us in a variety of forms. It's like the music is one of many expressions of worship. Your prayers are an expression of worship. And what I've really been blessed with, and this is the invitation that George is talking about, it's an invitation to come closer in. And one of the things that has strengthened our hearts to come closer and to awaken our faith and to help us let go of any agreement that we've made with a lie is we've been hearing stories from each other. You can call them testimonies, but they're God stories about how God is interacting in your life in a way that really encourages us, and it makes our hearts strong. And so over the last few weeks here now that we've been doing this, just reports have been coming to me, you know, just how grateful people are that that's available for us. I do know that that there's some stories to be told today. I do know that actually, Kendall, I'm gonna start out with telling a story about you. Just that's right. And I knew if I were to ask you to come and tell this story, that that would really put you on the spot. And so I'm going to prep it by this, okay? This is the first time that Kendall's led worship in quite some time. And it's not because she hasn't wanted to. She just hasn't felt the grace and the release and the margin to do that. And then when the grace and the release and the margin came, it was like with a little bit of, are you sure? God, you sure? Because it's been a while, right? Mm-hmm. How long has it been?
Probably 4 years.
4 years. Are you sure, God? You sure you got the right girl for this? How many of you were blessed this morning by Kendall? How many of you were blessed? Yeah, you can give a clap. See, the thing is, like, we can give God the glory and we can honor one another. And one of the ways that we can honor each other is just by acknowledging that what Kendall has just offered to us is nothing short of a gift. She's not only offered it to God, but she's offered it to us. Because it's really interesting as a worship leader that when you step up, sometimes people have this imagination that a good worship leader is the worship leader that can get up onto a stage or someplace and get in their own private bubble with God, and we all get to watch that. There's an element of truth to that, you know, someone who has a worship experience with God is an encouragement to all of us, but actually a worship leader technically is a servant. They're a servant to the fellowship, and what they're doing is they're providing a space and they're helping to facilitate a space where all of us can connect with God in that place. And so it's not like we just get to watch and live vicariously through the worship leader. The worship leader is serving in a way that creates a space. And I really appreciate you doing that this morning. And I just really want to acknowledge that it's God's goodness that has given you the capacity to serve in this way. It's God's goodness that has given you the capacity to offer yourself not only to him but to us as a fellowship. And I'm acknowledging that it's God's goodness and his faithfulness in your life that has actually provided the strength and just the ability to do what you do here today for us. And so I want you guys to understand this. Some of you know her story. She has not had an easy run at it here in the last few years. This has been a challenging time for you and your family, and you have consistently shown yourself to be turned towards God. I'm sure there were days when you were just like, what is going on? Why, God? You know, all of those hard things that a lot of us go through. But I'm just acknowledging right now that the grace of God in your life is what has enabled you to serve us this morning. And you are a living testimony. Kendall is a living testimony of God's goodness. This is what I'm talking about. When our lives can reflect the goodness of God because of what he is doing in light of our weakness and our brokenness and our humanity, in light of our failings and our sufferings and all of these things that we endure as human beings, when we allow God to move through us, like you are allowing God to move through you this morning, because honestly, she came up to my office this morning. She's like, I was going to call you this week and tell you that I wasn't going to do it. She goes, I'm glad I didn't. And I'm really glad you didn't too. Seriously. So how many of you can understand that what we're talking about in the way of testimonies is we're not trying to prop up, you know, like the polished version of who we are. Obviously, we're not doing that. We're acknowledging that in all of our humanity, in all of the places that we're in, God reigns supreme, and God alone is worthy of our praise, and God alone is the one who gives us the capacity to have life and love and fulfillment and abundance and all of the things that God gives to us. Those are the stories that we tell. Those are the stories that stir our faith to believe and to step closer through that threshold, through that veil that has been opened for us. If all we get are negative reports about life, because listen, we live in a culture of complaining, then it's just part of our, you know, nature to not believe and trust. What do we have to believe in? I mean, it seems like the disappointment that's around us is like over the top, you know, it's just off the charts. So listen, we are not in that culture of complaining. We're in the culture that acknowledges that in light of everything that's going on in our life, even the very, very real, hard, difficult losses that we go through, that God is not only capable, but he is willing, and it is his good pleasure to turn all things for good, that God has the capacity to redeem, and only God does. And so those are the kind of stories we like to hear, right? So, Teresa, do you have a story you want to tell us?
Thanks. Well, really, thank you for leading worship, because I was just sitting there going, I can hardly walk and chew gum, and Kendall is singing and playing the piano, and it's beautiful. So anyway, this story happened, this move of God happened a week ago. I was sitting in a Bible study, and we were talking about faith, and my co-leader leaned across the table, and she said to one of the participants, she said, you know, God's word says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed and you say to that mountain, move, that mountain will move. And I've been a Christian a long time, and I've always thought of that scripture as, okay, how does a mountain move? I mean, how does that really happen? And, of course, I know a lot of you already came to this conclusion or have already had this revelation, but to me, it didn't ever present itself as a spiritual mountain. And this gal that was on the receiving end of this was staring at a spiritual mountain in her life. And so when my co-leader said these words, she's just like, you know, when she said it, it's like the words, I could see them come out of her mouth. I've never seen the word of God like that before. I've seen the word of God, as in the Bible. I've seen the word of God presented in many ways, but I have never seen the actual words of God come out of someone's mouth. And it was really surreal. So it's like they started really small, like, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed. But then they just got really big. The words got really big, like a cone coming out of her mouth. And it was just like, whoa. So it was like a double revelation for me, first about the spiritual mountain versus a physical mountain, and then seeing God's words come out of her mouth. And I was just like, wow, God, that is really bizarre. But he's been talking to me a lot about creativity, so it was really cool to see a new creative way for him to show up for me. So,
I was thinking about this morning, and when you shared that, it kind of like reminded me of something that God, I think, wants to do here. It ties together. There's a sweet call to worship. There's an invitation to come closer. Faith as small as a mustard seed can move obstacles and mountains that are in the way of that. And faith comes by hearing the word of God. And the word comes out and it grows and makes an impact. Because God's word will not return void. It will always accomplish what it's set out to do. And so here's what I want to do is I'd like to ask anyone who has a spiritual mountain that's standing between you and that threshold, I'd like to invite you to stand up. Just go ahead and stand up right now. If you have anything that you feel like, you know, there's just some kind of blockage. There's just some kind of like my heart, like when we were crying, when we were singing the song and we were acknowledging like our desire, like all I want is to know you more. You're like, yeah, but I don't know if I really do. I don't know, like, I don't really feel that stirring in me. I don't really have, I mean, this is nothing short of a raw confession if you stand up. So I realize I'm setting you up. Awesome. So I want to pray for you. Remember, the invitation is to step closer, no matter where you're at in this journey, how far you feel like you are, how close you feel like you might be, compared to where you have been. It doesn't matter. God gives grace to the humble, and he beautifies the humble with salvation, with that saving grace of God to move in your life. So I want to encourage you, with even a feeble word, let it come out of your mouth, even if that word is move. Just speak to that mountain. I bless you with faith to speak to that mountain. I bless you with faith to speak to that mountain. And together with your family and friends here, we join with you and we say to that mountain, be moved. So God, I just want to thank you for your word. And my prayer right now is that you would speak to each person who's standing. Now, here's my sense. My sense is that part of your frustration right now is that you've asked God to speak and you're not hearing. And so what I want to ask you to do is I want you to just stand right where you're at. And I want to invite the rest of the fellowship here to come and stand with you. So I want someone with another person. And those of you who are going to go to that other person, I bless you now with the spirit of revelation to get a glimpse of what God wants to say to that person. So I release now just that, those words of encouragement, those words of strengthening, that prophetic gift that comes to the fellowship to build one another up. So go ahead and move right now and just get with people. Just stand next to people. We're not outnumbered here. Everybody's going to have somebody. If you were standing and now it's confusing because other people are up, just raise your hand. I want people with you. I bless you to hear. I bless you to speak the words of God that are words of life. I've been in this fellowship for 17 years and in some capacity as a pastor, and I can remember times when the Lord would bring us to this place of really trusting him to lead our time. Sometimes he would give us like a pretty good sketch well in advance, and there was just grace to go with that flow, you know, for some time. And then he puts the brakes on that. I never really see him teasing us or anything like that. And if you use the word test, I don't really think in that terms as far as like a pass or fail sort of thing. I think it's really just God is always inviting us into relationship. He's always inviting us into leaning close and to listening. That's why for some of you who are younger, some of you are in your 20s, 30s, and you're trying to figure out, you know, like your quote-unquote destiny and what your purpose in life is, your occupation, all of that amazing stuff that's really important. Let me just give you a little snapshot into the reality of most 50, 60-year-olds that I know, some of which are sitting right here. We're still trying to figure out the expression of God's destiny through our life, purpose, design, all that kind of stuff. The reason why we don't get the full blueprint of it all in one fell swoop is because our tendency then would be to take that blueprint and run with it and not really press into the relationship. Not really ask, okay, what about today? And so, you know, here it is. We're experiencing something in the Lord that's really rich. And it has its awkward moments, and it feels maybe like a little misstep here and there, but it's not. I think what God is doing, it's really stretching us to experience a reality of worship. And so I'm willing to let this take some time, but I'm honestly not really interested in like, I don't know what the word would be like. I'm not really interested in just kind of slipping back into business as usual at the risk of missing it. So there's grace needed, there's grace extended, and we want to do this kind of stuff more frequently, where we are actually just really listening. Some of you, if you experienced this type of worship in like a small setting, like maybe a house church setting. Some of you have been in home fellowships. Maybe the church that you were a part of, they had a different name for it. Maybe it was a cell group or whatever it was. And you began to experience. I know that when Tiffany and I first came into the things of God, where things became less rote, less academic, and more spirit-led and free flow and that kind of stuff, it was in a church environment called the Vineyard Movement. Some of you have heard of the Vineyard Movement. Now, I'm talking about the Vineyard Movement that was happening in the 80s. I'm not talking about the Vineyard Movement that's necessarily happening now. Although, because like any fellowship, it's a living organism, it can have its own way and its personality and its own. But there, you know, there was a shift that happened, and I don't need to focus on the shift. I do know that there was a confrontation that happened within the Vineyard Movement where individual churches and leaders had to make a decision. Are we going to seek to be relevant at the risk of being led by the Spirit? That kind of happened. And so when there was this move of God that was happening in free flow with the Spirit, a lot of that was being experienced in the home fellowships. And some of you, you've touched that, and you've known the reality of what God can do in a small, intimate gathering of people that just say, we don't really have an agenda. All we know is that we're gathered in the name of Christ, and we want His Spirit to move. Sometimes I will say this. Sometimes what home fellowships become are mini churches, miniature versions of what happens on a Sunday morning, where, you know, because we're afraid or whatever, we kind of slip into a system that kind of works for us on Sunday mornings. Therefore, it should work for us on Wednesday night or whatever night we get together. But most of the home fellowships that I've watched really flourish are the ones that have kind of that open-ended, like, I really don't know how this is. All I know is that we're going to gather around the person of Jesus and with each other. And so here's what I propose. I propose that instead of developing a lot of home fellowships that look like miniature versions of what we do on Sunday, how about we flip that coin, and how about we let what happens on Sunday reflect more what happens in those life groups, which from a group dynamic standpoint, I'm well aware of the fact that when you get so many people, that can be a real challenge. There's an element of intimacy that gets lost. The introverts can hide, and the extroverts take the stage over and over again. But I will say this, that we can have an enhancement of our intimacy with God and with each other on a Sunday morning gathering. Because we did not come to church this morning. We came to fellowship with each other and with God. And so here's what I want you to do. I think it's okay to do this right now. I think it's okay to imagine those times when you thought, I really would love it if church could be like, boom. Now, I'm not talking about cultural preferences. I'm talking about, because this was really true about the Vineyard Movement in its early days. Because its founder, John Wimber, he read the Bible and he went to his pastor and he's like, look, I'm reading the Bible. It's awesome. Those of you who don't know, John Wimber was a bass player for the Righteous Brothers. I mean, musician, just, you know, and he just in the world, all that kind of stuff. When he came to faith, he really gobbled up God's word. He really read the scripture and he's like, look, pastor, I'm reading this stuff. This is awesome. This is really great. Now, when do we get to do the stuff? Well, what do you mean, John? I mean, I'm reading all this cool stuff that they were doing. When do we get to do the stuff? I don't know what his reply was. All I know is that John left that place and he went to gather up with some other people who wanted to experience the stuff that he was reading about in Scripture. And so when I say, if there have been times in your life where you have asked, like, when you've been like, man, I really wish, God, that I could experience something like this and call it fellowship. It's no indictment. It's actually a raw, honest longing in your heart, because in your spiritual DNA, and I actually trust Jesus in you, and I trust the spiritual DNA that God's put in you, that you have a desire and a longing in your heart to have experience in life that is rich and meaningful. And so for you to voice that, there's nothing wrong with that. Let me just say this, that we will never be able to go anywhere as a fellowship unless we're first able to imagine it and then voice it. So at the risk of, you know, losing the intimacy of a small gathering, I'm going to have you wad up in small groups right now. And I want you to actually link up. No, I saw that, Jason. You're pointing at the people you know. I actually want you to link up with some people that you don't know. And I'm actually going to, like, make you cross the aisle. I'm just saying. Even though they might be wearing a Broncos jersey, and I know you're a Seattle fan. All right. I want you to just link up, and let's just take a minute, and let's begin to voice, like, when I dream about being in a fellowship of believers, this is the kind of stuff that I dream about. And you go ahead and voice that. And then one of the cluster is going to be asked to stand up and give us kind of like a bullet point highlight of what that group just talked about. Can we do that? Okay, good. That's what I want to do this morning.
So I don't lose my nerve. We were talking, like you all were, just about being in a place where we can be genuine. And I was observing how wonderful it is to, having been raised in a fundamental Baptist church where everybody wore a suit and a tie, and not the women, they wore skirts, and you had a bulletin and it said, this time you sang this song, and somebody was going to pray for this long, and I come here and we've got folks with a suit and a tie and Broncos jerseys and a pair of jeans with holes, and it doesn't matter because everybody accepts each other and there's a genuineness and a lack of judgment that I'm just reveling in. I feel like it just occurred to me while we were sitting there, the Spirit flowing through us, that this is a place where you come together and practice what it's like to love other people without any judgment, knowing that I'm not judged and I don't have to judge that person. And I can go out into the world and use that. When I'm feeling a little tense on Wednesday morning, I can remember what that felt like to have the Holy Spirit flowing through me. See, I told you I was going to get weepy. To feel like the Holy Spirit's flowing through me. Oh yeah, wait a minute. That's what that felt like. To hearken back to that Sunday morning service where everybody was supporting me and feel that. I can feel the love of Jesus right there in my space, because I know what it feels like. Sunday morning, I've got that. I carry that with me throughout the week.
We kind of got talking about church and the differences between small groups and our time that we have as a community and a fellowship here. And, you know, I think we enjoy the differences. We came to the point, the conclusion that, you know, when we look at Scripture, Jesus had those times where he spoke to the masses and the congregations, and then he would kind of step back and he'd have his guys say, like, that didn't make sense to me. And that happened at different times and different moments. And if we shared that same level of intimacy with everyone, that would kind of put us at a point where we were kind of dialed down to the to the weakest link. And when I say weakest link, I mean we'd all be kind of at the point where we're trying to, you know, speak to someone on the level that we know that they're at, and yet we still have to have a standard. We still have to have a pinnacle of where we're trying to get to. And so we do enjoy those times where on a Sunday morning or when you're gathered together as a body, where you can say, okay, as a body, we know that we're headed towards this. We know that as a community and as a fellowship, we're headed towards this pinnacle with what God has stated in His Word. And then because of the relationships that we've developed within those small groups or in those moments, those intimate times, we can know how to speak to one another and how to challenge and how to you know, motivate people towards that goal and towards that point. So.
Well, our group talked about a few things. When we first got together, none of us really know who each other was. So after introductions, we kind of sat there looking at each other. And I'm going through Genesis right now, so I started with a verse that I read. One, because the Bible says I get to go hunting this year. And it kind of opened conversation for us. Genesis 27:3 says, "Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison." Bible says I get to go. So that opened up our conversation. And for our small group that we were talking about, one thing that we like and we like to take from things is taking the meat out of everything that we get told to. Coming to sermons on Sundays, giving us a starting point to dig in and hear the word, and we can dig in further throughout the week and learn it more on our own instead of being told what the word is and going and on with that. So part of our small group thing that we really liked was be able to dig into it yourself, get a little homework, so you're left hanging where you want more. Like a good book, you want to know what the next book in the series is so you can continue reading it.
Well, our group was four, Justin and Rochelle, right? Yeah, they're Bob and me. And generally, our consensus is that we all like this because it's different and because we can come in and kind of experience God, what we've all been saying up here, I think. One member of our group would rather not have surprises, you know, kind of more of a predictable thing. And then a couple of us were sort of ambivalent on that. But I think the general consensus was being able to share life with people, share Jesus with people in the way that He's talking with us, and find a community here that fits and can grow and learn. And then another comment was, we don't want to get away from teaching. We'd like to come and, you know, hear something new and fresh that the Lord is telling us through His word and through the word spoken and the book. So, yeah, we're pretty happy, I think.
Well, our group, we kind of got together and we'd had some really good experiences within some of our small group fellowships. But when it came down to it, what we saw when there was real fellowship going on within our groups was when we actually set aside ourselves. And we looked in and we tried to find out what the needs of others were. And that's where it seems like we really saw the fellowship is when you set aside your own desires and you dig into the other people around you and you try and serve them. I mean, we talked about potlucks, people bringing what they have and giving of what they have. Instead of just eating their own thing at home, they go and they serve. One of the things that's... that really hits me all the time when I think of fellowship is I think back to the pioneers. And they couldn't make it on their own. They came together. And when they needed to build a barn or a church or a house, they came together and they built it together. And they put aside what they needed to do that day. Maybe their field needed to be plowed. But instead, they set that aside and they went and they served someone else. And they grew together and they served each other in fellowship together.
Well, we talked about how we appreciate that. Well, the verse that came to mind was, it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's through the Spirit. And so we had a wonderful time talking, and we just came to the consensus that, you know, for people to prophesy, for people to be moved by the Spirit and be allowed to speak to us as a body and to as individuals is what we appreciate and what we always desire more of that because it's the Spirit.
We talked about letting there be a freedom of the Spirit, about being able to pray for people when they need healing and just letting the Spirit flow through the fellowship, the body, and letting that healing come through God, us being the vessels, but God being the one that heals us. We also talked about, in the same vein, letting all of us hear from the Spirit and come up here, which is awesome, and share whatever the Spirit gives us, the word that the Spirit gives. And if there needs to be an interpretation, that there be somebody to interpret whatever God has for us. And also having that focus on the word, being able to dig into the word and let all of us as a fellowship come together and learn from each other, because we all get something different from the same verse. So we can learn more by discussing and by hearing and having a focus on one single verse or a passage or something, but we all get something different. And was it John Wimble you were talking about? Apparently when he asked that question, he was told that the body no longer needs healing from God, or that's something that was used to establish the church and then it's passed on and we don't get those massive or really awesome healings from God because God no longer does that. So he moved on to find something else because his spirit needed something else. He knew that that wasn't right. So for us, being open to the fact that God does heal, he does do these miracles, he does really move through his body if we allow him and we're humble enough to let him work through us.
All right. Well, I kind of feel like no Sean Moreno today because I've just been really weepy and no bets going around if I'm going to cry. I already lost or whatever. But, man, you guys were so blessed, you know, having Chris letting the Holy Ghost have his way. And I just want to express that real quick before I... It's real special, you know, getting to give everybody a chance in church to talk. And when we were talking, you know, I've always felt like I don't want to just warm a church pew the rest of my life. And I'm after the stuff. And when you said that, that was like, you know, just awesome. I mean, since then, I've just been kind of crying. But, you know, I think our group, you know, we... you know, what we get out of this is, you know, the fellowship with one another corporately and experiencing God corporately together, being built together in our fellowships and in our relationships and getting to feed one another with the Lord feeding us. And there was the reference of just kind of dinner time and supper and how we all come together and we eat and we enjoy and, you know, we get blessed from God together and we feed one another. And, you know, I think that with just, you know, the presence of the Lord, that I know the first time I came here, I felt it and knew that, you know, it's kind of like, I don't know a lot of you. Some of you I've known like since I was super little. And then, you know, in other ways, there's a whole other set of folks here, but it was the it's just him, you know, this is his spirit. And I think that's what ties us all together, not, you know, whether we agree on everything or, you know, do the same stuff. So anyways, go Broncos. And
good morning. We had a group of four of us, and the conversation kind of started out of us talking about, you know, what is it that we really like about small group gatherings? And the picture that came together was, it's like being in a kitchen. No matter how beautiful or how big your home is, when you have small groups over, everybody winds up in the kitchen. And everybody kind of rolls up their sleeves and, you know, chips in and helps. And what comes out of it is a reflection of everybody that's participating. And everybody gets to express their gift and their add to the pot, so to speak. And we're just saying, you know, it would be real refreshing to be able, when we get together in a larger setting, to kind of figure out a way to roll our sleeves up together and engage the enemy. Figure out a way as a group of believers, and one of the terms that was used was of a barn raising, and how in the old days communities used to get together around a project and actually roll their sleeves up, and everybody participated, and not everybody did the exact same thing, but they joined in and participated. And so the other thing we're talking about is, it's in environments like that where you feel safe that you begin to overcome your fears of and begin to step out and learn what your capacity is. And we were talking about the depth of worship that we're able to go to when we gather. And there is an anointing on corporate worship that's precious. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I tend to go deeper in worship when I'm in an environment where everybody's worshiping. It encourages me and it helps me get there. But we were saying that at some point, what if God actually holds back a measure of his presence to help, because he wants us to engage with each other in the kitchen and to really get into each other's lives? You know, the Bible says, how can we love God whom we've not seen if we don't love our brother who we have seen? And so at some level, what I think God is doing here this morning through Chris's words and encouragement is saying, folks, you got to get in the kitchen and you got to roll your sleeves up and you got to step out of your comfort zone and really overcome your fear and begin to invest in this community of believers as if this was just a kitchen, you know. And as we invest in each other's life, that paves the way for when we gather and worship to touch the heavens and to really begin to step in to a deeper place of corporate expression. Amen. Thank you.
I know every one of you to a point. I know some of you really well. And every single one of you have your heart turned towards God. There's no doubt in my mind that you've gathered here because of a choice that you've made. No one forced you to be here. And the fact that you are here tells me that you have it in your heart to connect with God and to connect with each other. And so hearing your words and hearing what's important to you, it's a reflection of your values that, quite honestly, I believe God put in you. It's in your spiritual DNA. You can't help yourself. It's just what you long for. And when you're not living in that place, when you're not living out of those values, there's a growing frustration in your heart. And there's a growing tension. And I understand that to the point where the challenge and the encouragement to you is, each one of us, we have to take responsibility to live out of the place of our values that God's put in us. And we cannot relegate that to someone else to do for us. And so I'm calling us up. It was not an either-or proposition here today. It's a yes and. It's the full spectrum. And so I'll be listening to that and praying with you as we press into the heart of the Father for this and just what he's inviting us into.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you have any questions, please drop us a line at nccfcolorado@mac.com.